Amen to that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We thank you that we can come before you. We worship you, Lord. We look to you, and I pray you just open our hearts as we focus upon you, of your love and your goodness, Lord, and that you truly did. If we were the only person in the world, each individual of us, you would have died for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your unconditional love, and we rest in that. And I pray you would just anoint me to speak words that would be encouraging of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Everybody hear me okay? Good. Okay. We'll open up in John chapter 20, verse 29. John chapter 20, verse 29. This is something Jesus spoke to disciples, specifically Thomas, after the resurrection. John 20, 29. I'll just read a portion. It said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." We come up to the time, and this is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and Jesus is appearing to his disciples. He is risen. There's no question, you know, that, and he's appearing to them. And it's interesting to note, when you look, at least in the scriptures, Jesus told his disciples at least three times, and maybe more, that he was going to die and he was going to be resurrected. He told them, you know. So, and I think, you know, it's kind of like your children sometimes. Well, I told you once, you know, and you know, they heard it. They heard the words. They heard the words. Okay, and so what we have, that he truly was crucified, and he was buried. Jesus suffered truly a monstrous, cruel death, which dashed everyone's of his disciples' hopes, dashed their hopes completely, which truly exposed their unbelief. Their unbelief. I mean, they just couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe what happened. And they were devastated. They were absolutely devastated at what happened to Jesus. Everything that they pictured of the Messiah, everything that he was going to do, everything, he didn't do any of it. He didn't do any of it. And they were just not only devastated, they were afraid. They thought, oh my gosh, you know, they got him, they're going to come after us now. Everything was just over for them. And so we just want to kind of look at these people. And it's not like they didn't know anything, okay? It's not like they knew anything. And it was, they're not responding well at all. And so we're going to look at the unbelief of poor, weeping, crying, devastated Mary Magdalene. Just devastated. The unbelief, the poor, frightened, disillusioned disciples. The unbelief of the poor, pragmatic, doubting Thomas. But also what I want to look at, unbelief, is our unbelief. Our unbelief. What has Jesus told us? What has Jesus told us? I mean, he's told all of them. He said, I'm telling, this is what's going to happen. It's like, it happened. Okay, it's over. It's done. They're finished. But what about our unbelief? What does our unbelief look like? What does our unbelief look like? Do we believe in the resurrection? Well, yeah, but that doesn't really cost us anything, does it? You know, yeah, I believe that. You know, and once you're on your deathbed, you're going, oh my God, I hope this works. You know, that might cross your mind. Then it's like, you know, but it's going to happen. It's like, okay, I'm just here. Gosh, you know, I put all my, you know, hopes in one bucket here. I hope this works. But, you know, we confidently, I believe in the resurrection. Okay, if we do believe in the resurrection, we say yes. I can't imagine a believer never to say no, you know. We believe in the resurrection. Then do we believe in the other biblical truths? Jesus tells us a lot of things, okay? I believe in the resurrection because Jesus said it, and he's alive. What about the other biblical truths? Do we believe them? Like, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, I just did a whole sermon on that. But that's what Jesus said. I mean, Paul said it. If God is for us, who can be against? Do we believe that? That's a question. Do we believe that? And how are we going to know if we believe that? When it really gets tough, you know, and it looks like nobody likes me anymore. You know, it's like, well, what's happening? And then that's when, like, okay, nobody can be. God is for me. Nobody. And then you have to step out in that. But my view, if you believe in the resurrection, you got to believe in this. You can't say, well, I believe in the resurrection, but I don't know. If you say, I don't know about this, then you really don't know about this either. You see what I'm saying? And so this is a challenge. And what happened here, the disciples to the man and woman didn't fare well. They didn't fare well. I mean, they were 3.5 years, Jesus teaching them. I'll give you power and you can do miracles just like me. I mean, these guys were, you know, kind of strutting their stuff. It's like, hey, us and Jesus. Now it's like, oh, we're done. We are done right here. And this is what's happening. So this is something we look at. So I want to look at this group of people. First, we'll look at poor Mary Magdalene. It's interesting, as we look at these, we want to think about us personally, and we will look at this, and when we look at these people, we want to let it be a lesson to us when we get challenged with our unbelief. Okay, that's how we want to look at it with this. It's like, well, man, I'd never done like she did. No. He's showing us, no, this is where our flesh takes us. This is where our flesh takes us. So let's look at Mary Magdalene. She didn't believe in the resurrection. She did not. Do you know how I know she didn't believe in the resurrection? Somebody guess why I know she didn't believe in the resurrection. She went to the tomb. I mean, God bless her. God bless her. But let's just read about her. John 20, verse 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" See, the angels, you know, they're nothing to cry about. "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Look, Jesus resurrected. No, somebody stole his body. I know. Just tell me. Just tell me where they put him. Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing. But she still did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I said, "What's wrong with these people?" I mean, I said, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener. You know, I think about myself sometimes. I think Jesus shows up in my life all the time. And I think he's the gardener. I do it. I say, as the gardener. Anyway, who cleaned up your... There's a gardener. I don't know. Something. Anyway, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." You know what? Mary. She turned and said to him, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, which was the common language of the time. She turned to him and said in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father." I'm going to pause right there. That there's a little thing that we can skip over right there, but it's really fascinating. Just came to mind. He said, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father." That's the first time he ever tells the disciples that God's their Father. It's the first time. It's the first time he says it. He says, "I'm going to my Father and your Father." I mean, just that's a little side note. That's important. He just says, "No, I'm going to my Father and your Father." First time he said that. "So I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. Now, it doesn't go in here, but you can read about it again. They don't believe a word she's saying. They don't. They say, "Well, we'll go look." But here you have. But the picture you have here, you have the love of Mary. God bless her. I mean, you have the love of Mary. She went to the tomb. At least she went to the tomb. She didn't understand the resurrection, but she went to the tomb. And traditionally, Mary Magdalene was known, like in Scripture, as a prostitute. There's really not any biblical evidence of that, but it's that's just kind of a traditional thing. It does say Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. So I'm thinking she had some issues. Okay, I mean, there's some stuff going on. 7, I mean, I think one demon could do a lot of work. She cast out 7 demons from her in Scripture. That's what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 2. "Yet while the disciples were hiding, she was bold enough to actually go to the tomb. Even though she didn't understand the resurrection, she's an example of what Jesus said in, you know, Luke 7. Chapter 7:47, he says, to one who much is forgiven will love much." And she's a perfect example. She loved much because much was forgiven. It's a good example of that. But now we see a turnaround. I mean, absolutely. You can see her before. I mean, we can just picture her. If you've been to any funerals, you can just picture her, you know, before the tomb, devastated. But now we see things change. Everything's changed, all right? She's not weeping anymore. There's no more weeping. She's no longer devastated. She's no longer devastated. Why? She's seen Jesus. She's seen the resurrected Lord. That was it. You know, I mean, how many people just, "Gosh, oh my God, did you go to the doctor and see they prescribe something and help me get over this, calm my nerves? And I just can't get over the anxiety. I can't over." And it's like, now you see Jesus and you'll be okay. You know, if you understand, you see Jesus. And that's what happened. Everything, she's just fine now. I mean, she is, at this point in time, the capital T evangelist. She is. She's going to tell them. And her hard group core of people she's going to tell are the disciples. They don't believe her. They don't believe her. So fascinating. The whole thing's fascinating. But it's important of us to understand her emotional distress was turned around with her encounter in Jesus. Now, I think there's an application there for us. There's an application for us that if we see and understand the risen Jesus, our emotional being will change and our focus will change for one reason, that we have recognized and believed the risen Jesus. That's the only thing that happened here. Amen? That's it. That's it. Her unbelief went to belief when she embraced the risen Jesus. Totally. Just fascinating. Okay, let's look at the disciples. These guys. I mean, love these guys. I mean, these guys turned out well. I mean, they really did. This was an on-fire bunch. But if you look at them, they didn't start out well. They just didn't start out well. I mean, if you read it, and it makes it very clear that Jesus picked these people out. Okay? If I'm like running a business and I'm seeing this is the kind of guys Jesus picks, I thought, you know, we need another HR department. This guy he not getting the cream of the crop here. I mean, these guys, you just can't trust them. You know? I mean, they really are not very dependable. Very dependable. Well, so Jesus specifically picked these guys out, all right? And when it really gets tough, when it really gets tough, they're going to lock themselves in a house. And they lock the door. They are locked in a house. It's like, hey, well, let's get together, we'll discuss this. Uh-uh. They got it. We need to get out of Dodge. I mean, these guys are ready to say, we're done. This is not working. That is nothing like I figured, you know. So they're locked out. So let's just look at these poor disciples who didn't believe in the resurrection. John 20, verses 19 through 21. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. These guys are scared to death. You know, here we have the people that are going to evangelize the whole world. No, they're locked in the house. They're scared of the Jews. No, we ain't evangelizing nobody. And so here it is. And it says, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, you got to read between the lines. The doors are locked. He shows up. Okay, so that's kind of like, you're talking about, hey, Peter, I told you to lock the door. I thought you locked the door. You know, he just shows up. Jesus just shows up in this house. Okay, doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Meaning, you guys just scared to death. Like, peace, come on. You know, settle down. You're going to have a heart attack. Peace be with you. I amplified that just here. But anyway, so peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Just think what the whole, how this unfolds. You look at this, they give you a picture, the doors are locked, he shows up, and you should have think, uh-oh, wow. He's looking, here's my hands, he got to go through the hands and side deal with them. He didn't have to show up. He's somebody, they're faking this, you know. Is that really you? Come on. Don't believe it. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. And again, Jesus' choice in personnel. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I mean, you've just flunked test number one. Okay, as God has sent me, I'm sending you. You're going to have to unlock the door. You know, and just get out. But I'm going to send you. But you see the dynamic that's going there? And these are the disciples. These are his disciples that will evangelize the world. Here we have Jesus' disciples, specifically chosen by him, spent 3.5 years learning for him, plus ministered miracles on his behalf. It says they even would come back and brag to each other. You wouldn't believe what we're pulling off here. You will not believe what's happening. I mean, these guys are amazing. And again, he specifically told them at least 3 different times, hey, I know, you know, this is, get ready because this is fixing to happen, this crucifixion and resurrection. And now they're locked, fearful for their lives. However, what changes it? What changes it? What makes them different? What makes them different? They saw the resurrected Christ. That's one that made them different. Do you think they took a, you know, who's this great John Maxwell on leadership? You know, he took a course on boldness. You know, a course on how to influence people. You know, I mean, they needed a course on something, right? No, they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus, and it all came. Every down to the depths of the core of who they were, it came because they saw the resurrected Jesus. That was the cure for being a coward. That was the cure. That was the cure for being frightened to see Jesus. That changed everything. I was reading a commentary that's talking about, and a critic was reading it, and he said one of the things that was, and he was trying to blow away Christianity and is having a hard time doing it, but one of the things that stuck with him, he said there was no character within Jesus' disciples to do what they did. They had no capacity, because he would look at who they were, and it said, and who they were before the cross and who they were after. It said, there's no capacity for them to do what they did. The fact that they did that mean that they had, I mean, and his comment was, these guys weren't going to, that they were cowards in the first place. And so they weren't going to die for a fake. They weren't going to die for a fake. Hey, we're scared of you, afraid you're going to kill us. And we know this guy's a fake, but we're going to proclaim him anyway. No, they're not about to die for a fake. He appeared and he was real. And then they got bold and they would die for the living Christ. But this is how this guy rationally walked through that. He said, that makes sense. Something happened to these guys to have that transformation. Well, they saw the risen Christ. Amen. Amen. So here's the thing about, you know, certain issues that we go through is that when we're, you know, the concerns, the fears, the devastations we go to, the focus on the risen Christ will give us boldness to go forth in the world. You see what I'm saying? And I'm all for counseling and stuff, and you help walk through people and you can understand. You really can't. But you show people the living Christ and they grab hold of that, and they don't need quite as much counseling as they did. You see what I'm saying? And so, and this is what happened. This was their cure. They saw the risen Christ. And Jesus knew. He knew what was down there because of what he'd tell them. He tells them, you know, I commission you to share the truth. I mean, here these guys are in the door locked, not believing the truth. He appears to them. He goes, now, be at peace, now go and share the truth. Because he knew once they saw the risen Christ, they had the capacity to do it. They just needed to focus on the risen Christ. Is that a lesson for us today? See? No, let's focus on the risen Christ. He is alive. There's a verse in Acts I was reading. Paul was going before one of the guys, I can't remember, it was Felix or Festus, one of these guys didn't believe. And he said, what is this Paul? He said, I don't know. He's claiming this guy that's dead is alive. I mean, that was his comment. He claims this guy that's dead is alive. I don't know, he's in that case. But that's his, because Paul was convinced he'd seen the risen Christ. He's saying he's alive. And he goes, no, he's dead. No, he's alive. That was a testimony. See, and that you think of the boldness of Paul. You know, and Paul had misplaced boldness, you know. And he was bold, and he was mad at everybody. So he said, I'm going to wipe out the church. I'll fix them like that. And Jesus, stop, you know. And it worked. You know, it's like, oh, my God, who are you, Lord? He goes, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Who was Paul persecuting? Christians. What did Jesus say he's persecuting? Why are you persecuting me? See, somebody persecute us, it's like, oh man, you messed up there. You just made Jesus mad. You know? See, I mean, but do you see how your mindset, the whole mindset changes. The whole mindset changes there. And so, you know, a boldness or a purpose in our life is knowing Jesus is alive. Changes everything. Changes everything. And it gives us that boldness. So here we have, hallelujah. What changed the disciples? They saw the risen Christ. All right, let's go. This guy, you have to love this guy. All right, doubting Thomas. Poor doubting Thomas. He didn't believe, he wasn't buying into this resurrection bit at all. And I ain't buying into it, folks. Not happening, not happening. Let's read about doubting Thomas. John 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12, so he wasn't here in the first when Jesus first showed up the other time. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin. Did you know that? He had a twin brother. I don't know where this guy was. You don't hear about him. Anyway, Thomas had a twin. That's a trivia point. You know, if you want to just kind of blow somebody's mind, you know Thomas had a twin brother. Anyway, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, I guess they're still a little shaky here. They still had the doors locked. You know, we need to discuss this before we unlock the door. Anyway, so they're inside. Thomas shows up. The doors are still locked. And just a second here. They're still locked, and Jesus came and stood among them again. By the way, in case you're in a room, jail, or anything, locked in, it doesn't bother Jesus. He just show up. He just show up in the locked room. All right. And so Jesus shows up and came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." That just gives me chills reading it. Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." You just witnessed a conversion. "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, what's interesting, I think, about Thomas, one of the things, you know, again, here's Thomas. It's Thomas. These people, and we need to remember, he spent, like the rest of them, 3.5 years with Jesus. 3.5 years with Jesus. He spent with him. He got the info. You know, sometimes we think people do well if they do the info. You know, no, unless they have a heart. Belief, change, you know, that make any difference how much info you have. So here you have 3.5 years with Jesus. Now he shows up, and all the disciples say, "We saw Jesus." He ain't buying it. He says, "Y'all been locked up in here too long. You need to get out and get some fresh air. You've been sipping on the communion wine. Don't give me this stuff." They're saying, "We saw him. We saw him." He spent 3.5 years with these guys, and he don't trust them either. See, I know you this bunch. I mean, seriously, look what's going on here. The dynamic. He's not believing. He's not. Look at what he's saying. I'm thinking he's saying something like this. "Listen, guys, not believing the word of this. Face reality. He was crucified. He ain't coming back. No. Ain't nobody come from a crucifixion. It's not happening. It's just not happening. You know, God love you, but it's not happening." Now, we also see here that when Jesus appears to the pragmatic, face reality. Now, how many people you know like that? Face reality, be pragmatic. When Jesus appears to the pragmatic, face reality, Thomas, he goes, "Hey, put your hand here. Put your finger and holds my hand. Put your hand in the hole of my thumb. Put it here. Just put it here." See, after seeing the resurrected Jesus, Thomas is like, "Hey, man." He didn't care if there's another disciple in the world. He didn't care about the whole world. He goes, "Oh, my Lord, my God." From then on, he didn't care who's in the room. He believes no matter what anybody. He has seen the risen Lord. That resolves his unbelieving, pragmatic side. That's it. He sees the risen Lord. See, it kind of helps, you know, you think about sometimes we share the gospel. You know, sometimes people, they don't need more information. They need to experience Christ. They need, we're supposed to give them information, you know. But what they need is to experience Christ. And once they experience Christ, then they'll start believing the rest of it. But they can't believe the rest of it unless they experience Christ. Unless they experience the risen Lord. See? So in the evangelism, you go, "Dear God, I got some words, but if you don't come down and touch this person, they'll never believe. They'll never change unless you touch them." Now, I'll share what I have to share. Because that's my job, you put them here, but unless you touch them. And so that's what your prayer is. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of the pressure off, isn't it? You know, here's the gift. Here's the gift. And then you just like, watch it. Just see what happens. Just see what happens. Because it's a move of God. It's a move of God. So it's fascinating. We look at this. The pragmatic of this world will never see the things of God unless they know Jesus is risen. If they don't know Jesus is risen, if they can't, they'll never get the rest of it. They'll never get the rest of it. Now, okay, so with that, here's Thomas. Again, Jesus picked it. But you know what God did? He could see past the locked room. Jesus could see past that. And you know, I won't say that about you, and I'll say it about me. He could see past who we are in the flesh. He could see past that. And he could see that, no, you just embrace the risen Lord, and I'll do through you what you never dreamed you can do. But you have to see the risen Lord and embrace him. Or you'll stay in the locked room. Or you'll stay in the emotional wreck. Or you'll stay the pragmatic, not believing anything. See? And the only reason we believe the things in the Bible, we believe because we believe God can bring them about. See? I tried this and I tried this and I tried it and it doesn't work. That's right, because you tried it and tried it and it doesn't work. You trust in the risen Lord, and then he brings it about, and you know his system, and you work with him. Amen? So this is what this is about, and so we should really be encouraged for this, because again, these people, 3.5 years of teaching, and they didn't finish well. If you ended there, I mean, what? I mean, this would have made it just a sordid novel if it quit right here. It's like, that didn't work. But it did, because you saw the risen Lord. But so here we are. Easter, he's alive. And we're here because we believe he's alive, period, like that. And therefore, we will trust him because he's alive. He is alive. Now, and what changes, and again, and hopefully this will be encouragement, what changes unbelief to belief is to encounter the resurrected Jesus. Now, how do you encounter the resurrected Jesus? Now, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, something has happened and you have encountered him. I mean, I don't know what it is, but something has happened, you've encountered it. Maybe someone shared with you the truth and the Holy Spirit touched you, and Lord, I believe, you know. Maybe you have answered prayer. You say, oh my God, you know, and it opened the door and you believe. But you believe there's something bigger than you. They believe something that someone bigger than you that loves you. It was explained to you. You experienced it a certain way. You saw it in other people. Something happened, but it wasn't just intellect. It wasn't just intellect. I'm going to say, I always get in trouble with this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay. Don't get hung up on intellect. Okay? Because intellect will get you nowhere in the kingdom. Okay? It's not going to get you any place in the kingdom. Now, if you receive Christ, God can use this intellect that he gave you for his purposes. But if intellect was the criteria, he wouldn't have picked these guys as his disciples. He wouldn't have done it. Amen? These guys. He wouldn't have picked them. Now, one who close would come to the intellect is the Apostle Paul. I mean, and he was so, I mean, he was throwing Christians in jail, taking their stuff, confiscating their stuff, you know. And it finally, and God just, and Jesus finally had to show up and strike him blind. And he collapsed in front of him. And he goes, what are you doing? And he says, there's this disciple, you go, and I've spoken to him, and he'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Why didn't Jesus tell him what to do? He's going to have to make him go ask one of these church members he'd been persecuted. They're going to tell you what to do. I mean, God can get through intellect like that. Sometimes it hurts, but anyway, he will get through. But again, the whole point of it is, it's our relationship with the Lord, and then with our relationship with the risen Lord, then all of a sudden, our capacity expands to infinite. It's infinite before what the Lord wants us to do, but it's infinite. And so we should be, it's infinite, okay? But we have to be in step with him based on what he's telling us, you know. And I like to use this joke because it's fun. Because like his infinite capacity the Lord gave me. But you know what he's not going to do? I just know he's not going to do this. I know you should never say God is not going to do something. But I just know he's not going to do it to me. I'm never going to be able to sing. Adam is never going to ask me. It's just not happening. You know, so I need to listen to the Lord and do what he says, and then there's infinite possibility. And if I say, if I tell you, oh, I just heard the Lord, and he says, well, you need to go sing. You need to say, well, you need to go back in your closet. Right, brother, I think you're out of fellowship. You see where I'm going? But you see what you have here. This is where he picked these guys. And the answer is they see the risen Lord. So when we share, what do we share? The risen Lord. That's what we share, is the risen Lord. And then answer questions. Say, okay, God, come. Come, God. Now, I will add this, too. Even after this, you know what he told his disciples even after this? He said, okay, you guys got it. So they go, we got it. He said, okay, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? They said, wait, because I'm going to come upon you so you'll have strength. Okay, and they did. They did. They obeyed. They obeyed. Do you think these guys, 120 of them, and they just loved Jesus so much, they just gathered together and just prayed for, I can't remember how many days it was. It actually says, but I forget. You know, and that, I mean, maybe they would. But no, they did that because God told them to. So, no, you pray and wait. They said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. See, they're picking up on it. And then the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit help us to do? You know, the helper, the counselor, and it says, embrace the risen Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit, they're working together. Embrace the Amen? So hello, be encouraged. All this is encouraged. And you know, God never turned away from any of these guys. He gave them all the command. He gave, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, says, I love you, hon. Now you get up and go share. Disciples, hey, come on. Yeah, now, okay, you guys, you good? Go share. That's what he told them. You good? I love you. Now go share. That's how he handled it. So when you mess up, not that you would ever mess up, you know, but if you ever mess up, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Come on. Now go share. Go share. Thomas, I ain't pregnant. I ain't believing none of this garbage. Come on, Thomas. Look, put it here. You know, now go share. And Thomas, you know, blessed are those who never saw me personally but believe. And what he said, they're more blessed than you are, Thomas. Well, that's us. Because maybe we didn't see a physical Christ, but we came to believe and trust the physical Christ. He said, all right, more blessed are they because they trusted. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're at Easter. The Lord is risen. And with us, I'm sure Adam has a song that we can close and praise his name on. For he's the risen Lord, and we trust in the risen Lord. And may people say about you the same thing they said about Paul. They say, I don't know, what is this guy? I know this guy that's dead, he says is alive. And that's what we're doing. So no, he's not dead, he's alive. He is alive. In fact, we're putting everything, our whole being, on the fact that Jesus is alive. Everything in us, we're putting everything on the fact that Jesus is alive. Amen. And that's good news, by the way. That is good, good news. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the word. I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you show us the people's weakness and that how you moved in and took their very weaknesses and made them strong, powerful people for you for one reason, that they trusted you. That they trusted you. It's all about you, Lord, and that you love us more than we can ever comprehend. We thank you, dear God. We thank you, dear God. We praise your holy name. And God, if there's anybody here that hasn't received Christ, I just pray you that you would just say, God, I believe. And you believe what? Believe what? You believe that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and you believe he died and he arose. And I say right now, just say, I believe I'm forgiven, and I believe Jesus, you arose. I believe you're alive. Jesus will take care of the rest of it. Right now, I pray. I believe Jesus is alive. We thank you, Lord. Amen.